As we reflect on the death of our Savior and King, I wanted to turn your attention to the very final moment of his pre-resurrection life. And if you've got your Bible, you can turn with me to John chapter 19. And we'll read from verses 28 to 30. John 19, verses 28 to 30. These are the words of God. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask now that you would bless the preaching of your word. We ask that you would strengthen us by it, O Lord, as we reflect on what you endured to accomplish all the word of God. We praise you, O Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Tonight, we come together on Good Friday to remember the death of Christ our Savior. But we don't come to commemorate the death of the end of a hapless victim. And I think that's important to remember. We don't come to remember the medical cause for his death. In fact, what we'll see tonight is the reason for Jesus' death can't be diagnosed medically. We come to remember the courageous death of our warrior king. You and I have to accept Jesus' death on the right terms. A gospel response is not to feel sorry for Jesus or ashamed of what he endured. Jesus, you see, gave himself to his suffering and death. He died because he chose to. What John chapter 19, verse 30 shows us is that Jesus gave up his life. No one took it from him. This truth is demonstrated in three ways: in the pronouncement of Jesus' earthly ministry, his silence at trial, and then lastly, in the manner of his death. Now, let's think just for a moment about some of the things that Jesus said in the very early aspects of his earthly ministry for a moment. In the opening scene of the movie Dances with Wolves, I think it's somewhere around chapter 8 or 9 of the actual book, Lieutenant John Dunbar, played by Kevin Costner, which, by the way, is not right because John Dunbar is described as a very white man. They should have cast me. Anyway, Lieutenant John Dunbar rides out on his horse in an act of bravery of sorts. He taunted the Confederate soldiers by galloping along in front of them, daring them to shoot him. Finally, he spreads his arms wide as Cisco, his horse, drives him along in front of the muskets and the rifles, and no one can shoot him. No one hit him. Lieutenant Dunbar displayed in that moment a kind of careless courage. Actually, he wanted to die because of the wound on his foot. He had a whatever happens, happens attitude. This was not Jesus' attitude. He knew what faced him, and he went forward. He knew he would be mistreated. He knew he would be insulted. He knew he would be cruelly killed, and he went forward. Immediately after Peter's confession, you remember the glorious confession of Peter. "Who do you say that I am?" "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus, in that moment, tempered their enthusiasm, saying, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised." That's Matthew 16:21. This is the moment that Peter, remember, Peter said, "Oh no, over my dead body." And Jesus rebuked him, "Get behind me, Satan." Again in Matthew 17, Jesus was teaching the disciples coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, saying, "But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands." Matthew 17, 12. And once more, after casting out a demon, we read, "As they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day.' And they were greatly distressed." That's Matthew 17, 22 to 23. Now, what's extraordinary about Jesus' prediction in these moments is these are not low points in his ministry. He's not expressing some sort of pessimism about what's going to happen to him. He's not despairing over a failed ministry. He knew his end, and he marched toward it. That Jesus gave up his life, therefore, is demonstrated in these pronouncements of his early ministry. He knew what he was doing. And it's also demonstrated in his silence at his trial. His silence at trial. You know, one of the remarkable things about Jesus' trial is that in spite of all the questions, he remained silent. Have you ever wondered why? Most of us, if we are falsely accused, would jump at the opportunity to defend ourselves. In fact, if we're honest, we wouldn't even wait for the accuser to finish speaking before we jump in and say, "No, no, 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 you've got it all wrong. It wasn't me." Yet Jesus, accused of blasphemy, a capital crime, never spoke in his own defense. Mark reports for us in Mark chapter 15, "And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' And he answered him, 'You have said so.' And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, 'Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you.' But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed." John records this in John chapter 19, verses 10 to 11. "So Pilate said to him, 'You will not speak to me? Do you know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?' Jesus answered him, 'You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin.'" There's a very specific reason that Jesus said nothing at his trial. He fulfilled the part of a sacrificial lamb depicted in Isaiah 53. We read in Isaiah 53, 7, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Yet Jesus went on to say that Pilate could do nothing apart from the active will of God. In Matthew 26, after Peter cut off Malchus' ear, Jesus said, "Put away your sword, put it back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" God could have struck Pilate with palsy. He could have brought an earthquake or a thunderstorm or anything he desired to do to stop that crucifixion in a moment. And Jesus remained quiet at his trial to serve God's purpose for his life. Jesus was not defenseless. He was determined. Thirdly, Jesus' power in death was demonstrated by the way he died. John records the death of Jesus in the simple words that we just read. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. You think about that for a moment. He didn't bow his head and simply breathe his last. He didn't bow his head and succumb to his injuries. He bowed his head and gave. J.C. Ryle remarks that this is an expression never used of any dying person in the Bible except our Lord. Think of Stephen having been stoned to death. Luke records that he fell asleep. Not of Jesus. Stephen was passive. Jesus was active. St. Augustine wrote, "Not against his will did the Savior's spirit leave his flesh, but because he would, and when he would, and how he would. Who is there that can even go to sleep when he will? As Jesus died when he would. Who thus puts off his clothes when he will? As Jesus unclothed himself of his flesh when he would. Who goes thus out of his door when he will? As Jesus, when he would, went out of this world." Matthew and Mark describe his death in these terms. "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." Neither Matthew nor Mark record what Jesus cried out in those last moments, the words, but Luke does. "Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last." Here he quoted Psalm 31:5. What each of the gospel writers makes perfectly clear in his record of Jesus' death is this fact. No one took Jesus' life from him. It is false to think of Jesus as one who suffered as a victim. Having finished the work his Father gave him to do, Jesus gave his life away. He willed the release of his spirit from his body and gave it up. Why is that so important? Because in that moment, not only is he the Lamb of Isaiah 53, he is the priest bringing the lamb to the slaughter. He is the priest offering the blood in behalf of his people. Jesus gave up his life. No one took it from him. The Holy Spirit did not record Jesus' suffering and death so that you would feel sorry for him. He died to complete the work that his Father gave him to do. This was the agreement bound in blood from before the foundation of the earth. Jesus died because he had to. He bore the sins of his people in his own body, and rather than shrink back from his death like a coward, he accepted it. He bowed his head and yielded himself to the onslaught of God's wrath due to him for sin. Not his, but yours. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, these are powerful words that we meditate on tonight. Even as we remember that at no point did you give yourself into the hands of sinful men, but all played their part in that moment, fulfilling the very will of God our Father to demonstrate His love to us by accepting Your sacrifice in our behalf. O Lord, may our lives be transformed by these truths. We pray in Your name. Amen. Let me lead us. Come on up, Rusty, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer. On your bulletin, page 2, there's a responsive prayer now based on Psalm 118, possibly one of the psalms that the disciples sang with Christ after that Last Supper. Let's pray this responsive prayer together. Great and everlasting Father, You are good and Your steadfast love endures forever. O Lord, we worship You. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Father, You are our help, our strength, and our song. You sent Your Son to suffer and die for our sins, becoming our salvation. Tonight we reflect on those sufferings. We remember His suffering was due to our sin. Because of His sacrificial love, we will not die, but will live. O Lord, accept our praises through Jesus Christ who sanctifies us. Grant us the peace of Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 26. We'll be reading from 20 to 25 and 30 through 56. And then if you would, take your thumbs and turn to Psalm 41, 7, 10. And if you would, please stand while we read from the Scripture. That's Matthew 26, 20 through 25 and 30 through 56. When it was evening, He reclined at the table with the 12. And as they were eating, He said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray Me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to Him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with Me will betray Me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of Him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray Him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" And He said to him, "You have said so." And when they sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of Me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered Him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny Me 3 times. Peter said to Him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And He said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And talking with Him, Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then He said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with Me." And going a little further, He fell on His face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." And He came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and He said to Peter, "So could you not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, He went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink of it, Your will be done." And again He came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, He went away and prayed for the 3rd time, saying the same words again. Then He came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man, seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friends, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your swords back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat at the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all of this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. Now Psalms 41, 7 through 10. "All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them." If you would turn to your hymnals to page 257, stanzas 1 and 2.
I'm reading from John 15, verses 18 through 27. "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have seen with me, you have been with me from the beginning. The response is out of Psalms 35, 1 through 3. If you would you join me in reciting that? Content, O Lord, with those who contend me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and rise for my help. Draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers. Say to my soul, I am your salvation.
If you're able to stand, please do so and take your Bibles. I'll be reading from John chapter 18, verses 33 through the end of the chapter, and then John chapter 19, the first 16 verses, and then Psalm 64, the first six verses. The title of this lesson, third lesson number three, is The Trial. Away with him, away with him, crucify him. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? For your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I may not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I could release one man for you at this Passover. So who do you want me to release to you, the King of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Now chapter 19. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law. According to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "Will you not speak to me? Do you know that I have the authority to release you and the authority to crucify you? And Jesus answered him, you would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who has delivered me over to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, if you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Then anyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat him down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement in Aramaic Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, behold your king. They cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. So he delivered him over to them and crucified. So they took Jesus. Now if you would turn to Psalm 64, and I'll read the first six verses of that psalm. Psalm 64, verses 1 through 6. Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from dread of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the throne of evildoers, who whet their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows, shooting from ambush and at the blameless, shooting at sin suddenly without fear. They hold fast to their evil purpose. They talk of laying snares and secretly thinking, who can see them? They search out injustice, saying, we have accomplished a diligent search, for the inward mind and the heart of a man are deep. If you were to take your hymnals again, and we'll sing the last two verses of hymn number 257, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted.
Fourth lesson, mocking. They gave him wine to drink with gall. Now reading Matthew 27, verses 24 through 31. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And all the people answered, his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered a whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put scarlet robe on him, and twisted together a crown of thorns. They put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. The response is, when I survey the wondrous cross, number 252.
They divided my outer garments among them. Please turn to John 19, 17 through 24 is the scripture. Please stand. And he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." And for our response, please turn to hymn 247, "O Sacred Head, Now Wounded."
The sixth lesson is entitled Darkness. My God, why have you forsaken me? I'll do my reading from Matthew 27, verses 45 through 49. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Our response comes from Psalm 69, 13 through 21. If you would join me and read that in unison. "But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. at an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep of the waters. Let me flood, or the deep swallow, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Hide not your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to my soul, redeem me. Ransom me because of my enemies. You know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My foes are all known to you. Reproaches have broken my heart so that I am in despair. I look for pity, but there is none, and for comforters, but I found none. Food, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink.
Our seventh lesson is death, and the reading is taken from John 19, verses 28 to 37, and also from Psalm 22, verses 1 through 15. Not a bone of him shall be broken. John 19, verses 28 to 37. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. From Psalm 22, verses 1 through 15. To the choir master, according to the Doe of the Dawn, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, like a ravening, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust. This time we'll prepare our hearts to observe the Lord's Supper. I'll ask you to take your hymnal and let's turn to hymn number 378 and stand together as we sing the first two stanzas of hymn 378. Hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. This evening we've reflected on the final hours of our Lord's life, and it is displayed for us here on this table that His blood was separated from His body. We read just a moment ago that the soldiers expected to go to the cross and find Jesus there still clinging to life like the other two criminals were, and they found Him already dead. And why is that? Because He had given up His spirit willfully. But also the soldiers took a spear and they shoved it into His side and out flowed blood and water. And we are reminded that in the death of Christ there is both death and renewal. There is both the blood of Christ and the cleansing that comes because of the death of Christ to all His people. What's depicted for us on this table is a reminder that Jesus took on a real body. Like ours, a true body and a reasonable soul just like ours. Remember that in His last moment, Jesus gave up His soul unto death. And Jesus took on a real body so that He might fulfill the Scriptures and suffer in our place. This is a meal that He has given to us. It's a meal that He celebrated with His disciples at that last night before He was betrayed. We partake of it just like they did. And it's a perpetual reminder that Jesus died in place of His people. This is not the table that belongs to New Covenant Presbyterian Church. It is not a table that belongs to the PCA or to any church. This is a table given to the body of Christ. And so we invite all who come in true faith and sincere repentance to partake of this meal. But we also remember every time we partake of it that it comes with a responsibility. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul warns that we are not to take this meal without first examining ourselves. You see, it's very important. This is a meal for the sincere believer. So it's not magic. It doesn't impart anything to a man who is wicked in his heart, is not trusting in Christ. It gives nothing. It is only a meal of grace accompanied by the Spirit of Christ to the sincere believer. And so Paul gives this warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. So there's a strong warning that we are given with this meal. This is the blood of the new covenant. It reminds us that Christ brings renewing life to all of his people, and only to them. And so if you are coming tonight in sincere faith and repentance, this is a meal for you. And so it comes then, we remember that on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. And after he gave thanks, he broke that bread and he distributed it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body." And I'll invite our elders now to come as they distribute this element to each of you. This element. Let's partake together. Our Lord Jesus, as we partake of this meal, we recognize that even in and through this bread and the cup, Lord, you are ministering grace to us, and oh Lord, we need it. And we ask that you would continue to strengthen us by this bread. As we eat of your flesh, as it were, knowing that we need your life in us so that we might inherit heaven and live for the glory of our blessed King. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Paul reminds us again that after supper, that Jesus took the cup in the same way, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And I'll invite our elders to come now and distribute this element to you. this element. It's the blood of the new covenant. Let's partake together. O Lord, you are our Lord, and we praise you that you have made the way possible for us to be reconciled by the blood of Christ. No longer are the blood of bulls and goats necessary as if they could satisfy for a single sin, but now, O Lord, you have ascended into heaven. You are seated on your throne, and your blood has satisfied for all of the sins of your people forever and forever, and we praise you for it. In Christ's name do we pray. Amen. Let's finish singing our hymn. Hymn number 378. We'll sing the fourth and fifth stanzas. Let's stand together as we sing stanza 4 and 5 of 378. Hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. If you'll turn to page 786, we'll have a closing prayer together, taken from the psalm. We'll pray together Psalm 4. I'll read the plain text if you'll please respond with the bold. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer my sacrifices. Many are asking, who can show us any good? You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Amen.